The rooks descend on a young rabbit in Kel's garden, attacking with brutal efficiency. He watches their calculated movements, appreciating their intelligence despite their wariness of him. This moment perfectly captures Kel's new life in rural Ireland, raw, natural, sometimes brutal, but honest. After 25 years on the Chicago police force, he's traded urban chaos for endless fields and distant mountains, seeking peace in a landscape both ancient and alive. His days revolve around restoring his newly purchased cottage, a project giving him purpose and structure after leaving his police career behind. The renovation work proves therapeutic, each task revealing new complexities beneath the weathered exterior. Kel's routine includes walks to Sean Ogg's pub when weather permits, following winding lanes bordered by ancient stone walls. At the centuries-old establishment with low wooden beams and walls yellowed by generations of turf fires, locals playfully tease him about being American. These interactions reveal the community's complex attitude, a mixture of curiosity, amusement, and cautious acceptance. Yet lately, his tranquility has been disturbed by an unsettling awareness that someone has been watching him. His cop instincts, honed through decades of service, have been quietly alerting him to surveillance. Though initially welcomed with surprising warmth, Kel now senses something has shifted in the community's attitude toward him. 2 days after the pub incident, Kel is gardening when teenager Trey approaches. Kel hands him sandpaper and wood to smooth. Though not starving, Trey shows signs of neglect, dirty neck, worn clothes with holes, suggesting minimal care beyond basic feeding. Their unlikely friendship develops as Trey visits regularly, indicating sporadic school attendance. He typically stays for an hour or two, accepts food, then abruptly leaves. Even on rainy days, Trey appears, watching through windows until invited in. During one visit, Trey reveals his true purpose. "My brother's gone missing." His 19-year-old brother, Brendan, disappeared on March 21st. Trey's mother refused to report it, claiming Brendan simply went off. Convinced his brother was kidnapped, Trey desperately asks Kel to investigate, believing the local police are fucking useless. When Kel explains he can't investigate without his badge, Trey angrily stuffs Kel's shirt in primer before running away. Despite his resistance, Kel finds himself investigating Brendan's disappearance, drawn by his innate need to solve mysteries. At the police station, his casual inquiry is dismissed. The officer describes the Reddys as wasters with a neglectful mother, suggesting Brendan simply left town like many youth do. When Trey returns, egging Kel's house in frustration, Kel agrees to investigate under clear terms, complete honesty and transparency about findings. He discovers Brendan had finished school with insufficient grades for his preferred programs. Friends described him as talkative, restless, entrepreneurial, and creative. Kel visits Brendan's mother, Sheila, a woman with rough, red-brown hair and a weather-beaten face that hints at former beauty. Though younger than Kel, hardship has aged her visibly. Under an electrical work pretext, Kel learns Brendan went off last spring without explanation. Despite her casual demeanor, Kel detects underlying worry. Brendan's friends reveal he had a money-making scheme and vanished after becoming frightened when police passed by. The investigation pivots when Trey reveals Brendan's secret retreat, an abandoned cottage in the Wicklow Mountains. Though Trey found nothing earlier, Kel's instincts compel them to investigate. After a challenging hike, they discover a white cottage with faded red trim, hidden in a natural hollow. Inside, the cottage shows signs of recent occupation: a new camping stove, electric cooler, fresh water bottles, and a newly installed sideboard containing industrial rubber gloves, professional cleaning supplies, Tupperware containers, laboratory goggles, and safety masks, all arranged with precision. The methodical preparation disturbs Kel. This wasn't impulsive, but carefully planned. He concludes Brendan was using his chemistry expertise to set up a methamphetamine operation, with stolen anhydrous ammonia from a local farm as a key ingredient. Meanwhile, shepherds report sheep being killed in a distinctive pattern: precisely slashed throats, removed eyes, and methodically flayed rectangular skin patches. The selective nature points to human rather than animal predation.
Cal's investigation into Brendan's disappearance triggers swift retaliation. After questioning a local about sheep mutilations, he returns home to find Trey severely beaten. In this moment, Cal discovers Trey is actually a girl named Teresa who had been using others' gender assumptions as protection. With difficulty, Trey explains her mother beat her after receiving threats from unknown parties who warned, "Do it or we will." She had also been asking questions about Brendan. Cal's neighbor Lena examines her, identifying a likely cracked rib but no internal bleeding. Furious, Cal confronts the local man and takes measures for Trey's safety. That evening, returning from buying supplies, Cal is ambushed. Multiple attackers throw a bag over his head and beat him with what feels like a metal pipe, breaking his collarbone and nose. As a gravelly voice warns him to mind your own business, Trey emerges with Cal's rifle. Her warning shot sends the attackers fleeing into the night. Cal learns from his neighbor Mart that Brendan had been stealing anhydrous ammonia for meth production. After being informed on, Brendan was confronted by Mart's group at his mountain hideout. What began as a warning escalated when Brendan insulted them. During the ensuing fight, someone struck him, causing a fatal fall against a propane tank. The group buried him in the mountains, rationalizing it as protecting their community from drugs that were further decimating their young men already lost to suicide, alcoholism, and emigration. Cal tells Trey her brother died in a fight the same day she last saw him. He promises proof, but makes her swear against revenge. Despite his police background, Cal doesn't report this. Instead, he and Mart visit the remote burial site where Cal uncovers Brendan's bog-preserved body with leathery reddish-brown skin. Cal finds evidence of a broken jaw, broken teeth, and a severe skull wound. He takes Brendan's watch as proof for Trey before returning the body to Earth, concealing any disturbance. After his mountain expedition, Cal remains haunted by the smell of peat and death despite showering. When Trey arrives, he gives her Brendan's watch, cleaned but no longer working. She examines it silently, rubbing the inscription, before asking if Cal was lied to. He gently confirms he saw Brendan's body himself. Trey leaves to process her grief. Cal texts Lena about getting Trey a dog while considering a mottled runt with a black patch for himself. Later, Cal brings repair equipment to the garden. Trey eventually joins him. They work together, Cal gluing splintered pieces while Trey experiments with wood stains. They pause to eat fruitcake, watching clouds drift over mountains as rooks call overhead. This quiet moment marks a new beginning. Cal finds purpose beyond policing in helping a troubled child heal, while Trey finds closure about her brother. The desk they're repairing symbolizes their own restoration, damaged but not beyond repair. In this Irish village, Cal discovers that belonging comes from knowing which questions to leave unasked.